message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today. It's always a pleasure to have you there when we're here. And we trust that our time together in God's Word will be a real blessing and help to you. We're going to look back at Romans chapter 12, where we've been for the last couple of weeks, as we're kind of surveying the book of Romans. And I say to you again, Romans 12 begins a new issue. It's the issue of service. You've had the first 11 chapters of doctrine to renew your mind, to give you a new way of thinking, to demonstrate the difference between the old life before you got saved and what God now, how God now has equipped you as a member of the church, the body of Christ, in Christ, and put Christ in you, how He's equipped you and me as members of His body, how He's equipped us in Christ with a new identity, with a new position, so that now that new identity, that new life in Christ Jesus can live through us. We have to walk by faith. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And that's almost that is exactly another way of saying what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12 when he says, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you might be able to put into the experience of your life what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The transformation in the Christian life comes not from giving you a bunch of rules and regulations to follow, not by seeking some tremendous emotional experience that is going to just transform your emotions, but rather by beginning to think a new way, a reasonable service, a service based upon the reasoning process of your mind. The renewing of your mind results in the transformation of the details of your life. God's purpose is to form the image of His Son in us. The focus of what God's doing today is to form Christ in us. And that's done on the basis of faith. Your Christian life will not operate on the basis of ignorance. Most people go to church today. When they go to church, whether they go to some church where it's based in man-centered emotionalism and fanaticism, or if they go to some church that's based in Moses-centered legalism and formalism, they go to church, and when they drive up in the parking lot, they just take their head and they screw it off and turn the brain off and lay it on the front seat, maybe put it in the glove compartment and lock it up so nobody steals it. Go inside, and it's just mindless things going on. You don't have to think at all while you're in church, the average church today. You come back out, you get in the car, you put your brain back on, your head back on, and because you're going to need it when you're driving. But most of what goes on in religion is just mindless kind of stuff that people just do what they've been doing because they've always been doing it. It's mindless, emotion-based religion. Religion is designed to satisfy the lust of your flesh. And that's what that's what religion does. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul's talking about having an understanding, have an intelligent understanding of God's Word about who God's made you in Christ, your new identity in Him, and then having that as the basis upon which you rest. Your whole thinking process of life is based on this new identity that God has given you in His Son. So he goes on here to talk about what he's talking about is applying in your life, applying the truth of Romans 6, 7, and 8, in fact, Romans 1 to 11, really, the first 11 chapters, applying those truths to the details of your life. The way you do that is through a thinking process, beginning to think like God thinks about about you and about what you're doing. You're His workmanship. Then he goes on to talk about this service. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You see that issue about thinking? You need to understand what God's doing so you can think the way God thinks. Think soberly. Don't have drunken thinking. Don't have thinking that isn't realistic, misperception, but thinking based on the renewed mind, a mind renewed by the doctrines of God's grace. That thinking process, that renewed mind thinking process, that being filled with the knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, being filled with that knowledge, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, increasing in the knowledge of God, being fruitful in every good work, and so on and so forth. That issue is the issue of service, and that's what he goes on to talk about here. And he says, here's the thing to remember. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and have everyone members, and are everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And he goes on down talking about the gifts. And what he's talking about is that there's this whole, what God's doing is forming a body of believers, this body of Christ. And all the body members are different. And there's a great diversity between us, and yet there's one purpose that God is accomplishing. And that one purpose that God is accomplishing is forming the church, the body of Christ, through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Now he says, remember, think about what's going on soberly. Don't compare yourself among yourself. Just understand you're one member of, you're one part of what God's doing. And operate on the basis of who God has made you in Christ. And when he talks here about having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, he's not talking about what the modern charismatic movement talks about in their chaos of confusion. He's not talking about what you often hear preachers talk about. In fact, almost every preacher you're going to hear on the television and the radio is going to talk about God giving you gifts. I say to people quite often that this program that you're watching is one of the very few non-Pentecostal programs on the television. We represent one of the very few non-Pentecostal ministries in America today and in the world today. You say, but wait a minute, I know a lot of ministries that aren't charismatic and that are not. I'm not talking about that. Listen, if you go to Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost, as the birthday and the beginning of the church, the body of Christ, there is no way that you can honestly and legitimately say that the gifts that were in evidence in Acts chapter 2 are not gifts that are involved in you and me today. They are gifts involved in the program you are a part of. Now, if you watch this program on a regular basis, you know that we absolutely do not go to Acts 2. We absolutely do not go to back to Pentecost for the beginning of what God's doing today. Rather, we go on from Pentecost to the Apostle Paul. Paul says that in me first, Jesus Christ showed forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him the life everlasting. Paul is the first man. He is the pattern and the first person in a whole long line of people who are going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive eternal life because they've done so. Paul is the beginning. Paul is the place. The reason that the Apostle Paul is in your Bible is because God has another program with another apostle, not Israel's kingdom program with the 12 apostles and Peter and so forth. If your church is built on Peter or Blessed John the Baptist or Holy Mother, whatever, it isn't what God's doing today. See? Someone says, well, our church is built on Peter. Well, that's too bad. Because what God did with Peter, he set aside. He's interrupted the program that he had with Peter and replaced Peter with Paul. And if you went to Peter today, if you went up into the third heaven in New Jerusalem and asked Peter, who would God have you to follow today? He'd tell you, follow Paul. And he told the people in his day that in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 9. You see, you can argue all you want to about the John the Baptist or Peter being the foundation, but they're not. And the way you know they're not is that the program that they practice isn't what's going on today, and you're not practicing it even when you profess to be. And an honest person, I don't mean somebody trying to just prove their point or make their religion come out on top, you know. Well, we knew our church was right all along. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that's sitting right there that's honest and that really wants just what God wants and what God says, you know that all the things you go back to Pentecost and claim don't work. And you know that you go back and only pick out certain things, like speaking in tongues. And you don't take the all things common. And you don't take the provide neither script for your journey nor purse. Well, you know that the guy that's telling you that he's going to heal the sick and raise the dead and speak in tongues is taking up 1, 2, 3, 4 offerings during the time he's doing it. You know that. Well, if he really believed Matthew 10 and Acts 3, if he really believed them, he'd do what Peter and John did. They said, silver and gold have I none. Why? Because they were lazy and wouldn't work? No. Because God didn't provide for them? No. They didn't have silver and gold as personal possessions because Matthew chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 28, Jesus Christ and his commissions to them, the first great commission, the second great commission, one in Matthew 10, one in Matthew 28, told them not to take, forbade them from taking up money and bank accounts and offerings. And somebody says, well, that was just the tradition at the time. But isn't that what you're just saying? I mean, how can you say, well, we're just going to go by what they went by, but we're not going to go by what they went by? See? And what happens to that is that somebody comes along and they says, well, that's double talk. That's tomfoolery. You sound like a politician. Religion and politics sound an awful lot alike sometimes, don't they? You know what that is? That's called fleecing the sheep. That's what that is. And you say, well, what about that, Brother Rick? Listen, that book is a discerner. The Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. It discerns things for you. That's a discerning book. And the Word of God will help you to discern the problems in that. And the problems in that is that in Acts 2, you're talking about a program that God isn't operating today, that you and I aren't a part of. You aren't Israel. You aren't a part of Israel's kingdom program. You're in something else. You say, well, then what about these gifts over here in Romans chapter 12? What do we make of them? Well, these things are not the charismatic confusion that you see about you. You say, well, what's that? Well, come over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let me tell you something, folks. When it comes to miraculous demonstrations and miraculous gifts, so-called, you need to be very careful. You need to be very careful. For some people, a miraculous demonstration or some seemingly supernatural event is the answer to all question and all discussion whether God was in it. God had to be in it. I had this experience. I had this vision. I had this happen to me. I had this, and I saw that. And I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I saw, and I know what I believe. Now, this is a free country. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But you can't go around and saying God's Word teaches something unless you can prove it in the book. And that's important to remember that. You can go to whatever church you want to go to. God bless you. Have at it. I'm for you. You can believe anything you want to believe. You can go anywhere you want to go, do anything you want to do, say anything you want to say. It's wonderful to be an American. It really is. And yet, you can't say something's what God says unless God said it's what He said. And be telling the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. Paul says, so the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's talking about the Antichrist. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Now you need to think about that. That verse says that when the Antichrist comes, he's going to come and his working is going to be after the working of Satan. And he's going to have power and signs and wonders. They're just going to be lies. He's going to be speaking lies and hypocrisy, professing to be an apostle of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul says, and no marvel that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So it's no great thing. That his ministers, he's got preachers. They've got radio programs, TV programs. They've got church buildings. They've got church houses. They've got schools. They've got seminaries. They've got all the trappings. That his ministers be transformed into ambassadors for Christ. They go out and say, we're sent by Jesus Christ. Only the passage in 2 Corinthians says they're preaching another Jesus. There is another Jesus. You know that. People going around talking about Jesus all the time. You better be sure you got the right Jesus. You better be sure you got the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's different. Now, when he says this in 2 Thessalonians 2, it's possible to have signs and wonders and power, miraculous demonstrations in your midst, and then be lying wonders that are designed to deceive people. Deceive them. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 13, something you want to be very careful about. Just because you see something happen that you think happened, a so-called miraculous event, it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Now, we've all seen the thing, you know, Johnny Carson gets the Amazing Randy on his TV show years ago, and he demonstrates that Peter Popoff and W.T. Grant, you know, they were phonies. You know, Popoff was talking to the lady with his with the phone, talking to people and calling their name. You thought he had what he called a word of knowledge, and God's voice speaking to him. It turned out to be his wife talking to him in his ear. Now, I know a lot of wives think they're that when they talk to their husband, that's God talking. But that guy's just a charlatan. That's just a phony. It's just a magic trick. But you looked at that and you said, well, what about that, Brother Jordan? Well, I'll tell you what about that. The Word of God says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every appearance of evil. You better prove it by the book. That's what God says. And if it goes by the book, believe it. And if it doesn't go by the book, jettison it. And it doesn't make any difference what you see, feel, think, or hear. You go by the book. What God will do is try you out. Will you go by the book? You see, God the Holy Spirit isn't interested in filling you with Himself. He's interested in filling your life with Jesus Christ. Anytime somebody talks to you about the Spirit of God working in you and talks about anything other than Jesus Christ living His life in you is talking to you about something that is phony. Let me say that again. Anytime somebody talks to you about the Spirit of God working in you and talks to you about anything other than the life of Jesus Christ, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ producing His life in you, is talking about a phony religion. I'm talking about Christianity. They're not talking about grace. They're not talking about what God's doing. It's just phony baloney. It's just emotional, superstitious nonsense. Now you say, Brother Jordan, you're kind of being kind of hard. Well, maybe I am, but sometimes you got to talk to people real straight to get them to listen. You do. People write me letters and they say, oh, Jordan, you ought not do this and ought not do this. Somebody needs to tell you the truth. Deuteronomy 13, listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee. Here somebody comes into the nation Israel. Now Israel was a nation of signs and wonders. God gave birth to the nation of Israel out of Egypt in the midst of signs and wonders. They were God's sign people. The signs of God belong to the nation Israel. Psalm 94, he calls them our signs. He says somebody comes in there when they're in order, when they come to the people that they belong to. The Jews require a sign, 1 Corinthians 1:22 says. When those signs were in order, and Moses is doing them in their midst, he said if somebody arise among you, and says, I've had a dream, I've got a vision, God spoke to me and God showed me something. And He shows you a sign or a wonder, some miraculous demonstration to validate the word from God. And it comes to pass. We're not talking about, you know, W.T. Grant using the old vaudeville trick of making somebody's foot grow, leg grow, you know. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. We're not talking about somebody putting magic paint or old water, paint on a painting and letting the heat get up and then letting it drip down and people thinking it's crying. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about stuff that isn't real, you know. People send the picture of a saint or Christ or Mary in some flower or some cloud or some sheet of some bed sheet or something. That kind of stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something that really happened. Something that's real, scientifically measurable. Not religious superstition. It happened. And the person shows you the supernatural event. And then he says, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. He comes in, he shows you a sign of wonder, says, God spoke to me, confirmed His word with signs following, and what he said is, we ought to go out here and serve other gods. Moses says, thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. What would be wrong with this guy? He says, I had a dream. God spoke to me, and God gave me a vision, and God gave me a message and a word for this hour. Yes, amen. And he gave me this sign and this miraculous demonstration to show you this sign to make it come to pass. Yes, glory. And he shows it to you, and you go check it out, and you say, this is real, man. This sign really happened. I mean, you heard the guy on TV, you know, say he raised somebody from the dead, you know. Yeah, sure. Okay. You see the guy really come up. And then he says, now what that means, what the word is that we should go and serve other gods. You say, whoa, wait a minute. God said in his word, wrote it down on one of the tables of stone that Moses brought off the mountain, thou shalt serve only the Lord thy God. First commandment, have no other gods before me. Here's a guy comes along and he violates the written word of God to Israel. You know what Israel's to do? They're not paying attention to him. Moses told Israel, God's trying you out. God's checking you out. He's reading your meter, Israel. He's going to see whether you really love him or whether you just love yourself and your flesh and your experiences and your emotions and being special. Or do you just love him? Are you willing just to go by? He says, you know what you better do? You better keep his commandments and obey his voice. And if you see a sign that tells you something different, forget the sign, believe the book. When the signs were in order, when they were a part of God's program, you know what he said? You don't believe the sign if it's used to contradict the plain written word of God. Even if it's a real one. And that's something. Come with me to Matthew chapter number 7. You see, God's trying people out. And what God will do with you is he'll find out what you want. Are you more interested in your feelings and your emotions and your experiences? Or do you really just love God and his word? You just willing to trust God and his word? Or do you want it your way? Now that's a big question. But that's the question of the hour, friend. Because the issue is, what does God say? And Paul said, you need to think soberly. It's either what God says in his word or just forget it because you don't have any compass. Matthew 7, verse 21, Sermon on the Mount, Messianic Law, Old Testament book of Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, Christ preaching the kingdom law to the nation Israel. Matthew 7, 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works. You hear that? They're going to profess to the Lord the judgment that they were doing it for him. Doing it in his name. Watch what he says. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's possible to completely miss the boat, die and go to hell, spend all eternity in the lake of fire, after having spent a life in the ministry, professing to cast out demons and prophesy, preach the word of God, cast out demons, and do many wonderful works in the name of Jesus. Now that's serious, folks. That's serious. That ought to sober you up today. That ought to get you out of the drunken religious system. That ought to get you out of a system that tries to make you drunk with the wine of its intoxicating, emotional, mindless activity and cause you to understand that there's something serious going on here. You can literally, according to Jesus Christ, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, not me, Christ, Sermon on the Mount, according to him, you can preach in his name, cast out devils in his name, and do many wonderful miracles and miraculous demonstrations in his name, and still die and go to hell and spend eternity in the lake of fire because you're lost. You're a worker of iniquity. That's serious. You know what you better do? You better get in that book, my friend. You better understand that that book is the issue. And doing it God's way out of God's book. Not what you think about it. I think about it. The preacher thinks about it. Somebody else thinks about it or doesn't think about it. What God says in the book. That's the issue. Now Paul says that we're to think soberly. and righteously, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God dealt you the measure of faith in the Word of God. We're going to talk about that next time. God has put the doctrine for you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul said, it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God. It isn't you deciding what to do. It isn't you going and doing it. It's what God sets the standard. His standard for salvation is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I don't know what message you believe to get saved. Maybe you believe what Peter told Israel on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. You shall receive the remission of sins. Maybe you believe the message John the Baptist told Israel, the baptism for repentance for the remission of sins. Maybe you believe the message that that Christ gave the rich young ruler when he came and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, keep the commandments and sell all that you have and give alms. Maybe you believe some of those messages. If you did, you believe the wrong message. Because God never sent any of those messages to you. He only sent one message to you and me today, and that's the message that he sent through the Apostle Paul, that other apostle, and that's why Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You trust that, God will save you. Trust anything else, and you'll just be a worker of iniquity, even if you're doing it in his name. The book is the issue that decides that. And your Christian life, the way your Christian life functions, is as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It doesn't function on the legalism of the law. It doesn't function on the man-centeredness of the confusion of the religious system. It functions just simply by you seeing who God's made you in Christ and resting in the reality of that and letting his life be your life. I hope you've trusted him. I hope you've trusted him as your Savior and as your life. Thanks for being with us today. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape you'd like you to have to go along today's study. The tape is entitled, The Right Use of Gifts. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 327. That's tape offer number 327. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'll be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We have to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another message of grace.